Okay. This morning, I asked a different question. I asked them to tell somebody else what they would ask God, if they could ask God for a gift. And it took quite a while for people to figure that out, so I told them, make it easier tonight. And I think most people just said what Solomon said for wisdom. And I said, I actually think Solomon asked for the wrong thing. Because with all his wisdom, he still missed the mark. He still had 1,000 wives, and he couldn't control his finances. So he should have actually asked for contentment of godliness. And but that you can't ask from God, that you have to cultivate. That's not something that God will give you. Before I get before myself, let's start. Proverbs 13 verse 22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Psalm 27 verse 13 to 14. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord and the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. And the point I'm trying to make is that God is a good God. And if the Bible says earthly fathers give us good gifts, good inheritances, our Father in heaven, so much more, he invented the word inheritance. And so much more he wants to give us, his children, a very good inheritance. And the Bible also says there's no one good but God. So we can be assured, we can rest assured that God is good, and he has got a good inheritance for us. But before I get too carried away with that, I just want to compare sons versus slaves, because you could be a son of God, or you could just be a slave. Galatians 4, verse 28 to 31. Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of the promise. But what does the scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and the son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit the son of the free woman. So, brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free. So, what it really says is, God has got an inheritance for us, but first we must be born again. It's only an inheritance for born again. God has got it intended for everyone, but we must come to God to receive our inheritance. And for that reason, we must first be born again. You might be sitting here tonight, you don't know what this is about. We're going to offer an opportunity at the end of the service for you to make that decision. Romans 8, verse 15 to 17. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may be glorified with him. It speaks of a witness in your heart. When I got saved, one of the first things that that I asked is, so now I'm saved into this house, so what has God got for me? What is his plan for my life? What is his purposes? Where is he taking me? Ephesians 1 verse 6. In love he predestined us for adoption, the sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. So this also speaks of a hireling. He's the prodigal son. And story is a good story to start off with. The prodigal son, he just wanted things from his dad, so then he ran away and he squandered it, and then he came back again after a while, because he realized his dad was a good dad. And he came back and he said, I'd rather be a slave in my father's house, because I'd rather want my father's heart. And that's the same for us. God is not interested in people that's just coming to God to get. He's not interested in just giving us stuff, because he wants to give us himself. He wants us to become like him. He wants us to become, to share his heart and his vision for life and for eternal things. He wants us to share his heart. In the world, we can fake sonship. You could stay in your dad's house like the prodigal son. Or even the prodigal son's brother. He just stayed in his father's house, did everything perfectly. He just waited for his dad to die, to inherit. But he was never there for the father. He never shared his heart, his father's heart. So when the other brother came back, he was crossed. He says, why do you still have place in this house? His other brother. So he actually never intended to get to know his father and to inherit his father's heart. So the difference between a son and a hireling is, a son wants to be like his father. A hireling only comes to the father for stuff. What is our inheritance? Psalm 16, verse 5 to 6. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lions have fallen from me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. Genesis 15 verse 1. After these things, the word of Jehovah came to Abram in a vision. Say, fear not, Abram, I'm your shield and your exceedingly great reward. So God is really saying, I'm your reward. I want to be your everything. And it's interesting to see what Abram, when we remember him as the father of faith, the father that had inherited the promises. But even before God gave him a promise, that's what he said. He said, I'm your shield. I am your exceedingly great reward. So God wants us to get to that place before we do anything and ask of anything. James 2 verse 5. Listen to me. Listen, my beloved brothers. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? Colossians 1 verse 19 to 20. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile himself to himself all things, whether on the earth or in the heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. So firstly, God is our inheritance. We come to him because we want him. But then God also saying we become co-heirs with Christ. The scripture says it that Christ died on the cross and we become co-heirs with Christ of the kingdom of God. So firstly, it's God, and then it's the kingdom of God. And we, as children of God, as firstborn sons and daughters of God, God has given us the kingdom. And as Jesus has inherited that on the cross, as he's gone through the suffering of his crucifixion, as he's raised up and seated with God in heavenly places, so we are seated with Christ, and so we've inherited the kingdom. So in Christ, we've also inherited the kingdom, and we take it by force. And from Scripture says, from the beginning of time, those the righteous take it by force. I like this quote from John Piper. Wanting eternal life is idolatry if you don't want it as a means of enjoying God. So yeah, we're reigning and ruling of God, but why are we doing it? We're doing it because we want to see Jesus come back. Most of all, we want Jesus. We want him bear Jesus. That's what we want. Analogy with that is always you always go look in the Old Testament. It gives us good examples that we can follow now. And if you look at the Israelites, what did Moses say to Pharaoh before they leave Egypt? He says to Pharaoh, "Let my people go, so that they can worship me." And when we think of the Israelites, we only think of the Promised Land. We only think God released them to inherit the Promised Land. But no, God released them out of Egypt for one primary purpose, and that's that they would come to worship him. And as you can see with the analogy, when Moses went up into the mountain, God's intention was for all of them to go up to the mountain to worship God. Okay, our inheritance is now and it's progressive. Mark 10, verse 28 to 31. Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and land with persecutions in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." It's interesting the signature God has put on there is with persecutions. Those who are last will be first. So things with God works a bit different to the things in this world. In this world, we only get our inheritance when we die. And God, we start getting it while we're still living. Okay. Ephesians 1 verse 13 to 40. In him also, when you have heard a word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, was sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is our guarantee of our inheritance. And I just mentioned the scripture again. I mentioned it earlier. And it's really the Holy Spirit comes and seals our inheritance. He's really the guarantee of the fact that we are going to inherit and that we are also going to inherit heaven one day. He is the one that affirms in our heart that we're going to be with God. 1 Peter 1 verse 3 to 4. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to inheritance that is unperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven. So it's also, what it says is our inheritance is not just in the tangible, it's not just in things we can see or hear, it's in the intangible, it's in the relationships, it's in the reward, even in the next age. God in the Bible mentioned ages to come. And this age is really just the beginning of our created living. We are created not just for times such as this. He's created us for ages to come. Great things He's got planned for us. And the way we live this life is really going to reflect into eternity and in the ages to come. 1 Peter, I read it already. Inheritance is becoming. Romans 8, verse 30 to 31. And those we predestined, He also called. And those we called, He also justified. And those we justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? Is God for us? Who can? If God is for us, who can be against us? So it speaks of us being saved. And then God starts a process in our lives. He becomes intimately involved in our lives. It's like a father, a little baby grows up. He gets saved, but then the father starts to impart stuff, and the mother as well, starts to impart stuff into the child's life. Grows the child up, teaches him skills, teaches him moral values, etc., etc. And same with God. When we get born into His family, His desire is for us to inherit His likeness, to become Christ-like. And that's the process that starts, the process of sanctification, washing of the Word. It's really a process of character growth. The major thing that God wants to leave of us is character. Romans 8, verse 16 to 17. The Spirit Himself bears witness of our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs of Christ, provided we suffer with Him. As I read earlier. So suffering is really a part of it. If you look at Jesus' own life, He was born into a manger. He wasn't born next to the right hand of the Father. He was born as a little baby. And then He had to grow up like every one of us. He had to suffer the same struggles we do. He had to be tempted the same ways we did. And then He had to go past the cross. In obedience, He had to endure the cross, the obedience of the cross, before He could inherit His promise, which was the right hand of the Father. And it says in the word, for joy that was set before Him, He enjoyed suffering. So suffering is part of our inheritance and to overcome. And like I said earlier, the greatest joy of the Father is that we share His heart, that we think and act like Him. And if we want a good example of what God wants us to become, then just read through the gospel of the example of Jesus. He wants us to share the likeness of Christ in our everyday living. Okay, I want to share with us the example of David before he was anointed as king. 1 Samuel 17, verse 13 to 35. And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go up against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him." And it's interesting, David was the 12th of Jesse's sons. He was the youngest. And as we see later in Scripture, when the prophet Jesse came to anoint the king, his father didn't even call him in. He didn't even consider David. He was like the least of the sons. But what job did his father give him? He gave him the least job of just looking after the sheep. But he was so faithful, even in the least job, when the lion came and the bear came, he counted one of the sheepies worthy to protect with his life. He actually went out and risked his life to kill those sheepies. And not to let those sheepies being killed. And that's really what God is after. He's after character. He's after our heart. And He is looking what we're doing behind the scenes. He's not looking what we're doing in the spotlight and when other people are around. He's really looking what we're doing with the little things, where we are faithful. I remember when I was a small group leader and chauffeur in 2008, first time I was called to be chauffeur leader, I was a small group leader. I remember the end of that year, it was really a tough year for me. And the end of that year, I was really not in a good place. And I remember God said to me, "If I asked you to do that over again, what would you do?" And it took me a while. I had to think about it because I really didn't want to do this again. And eventually I said to God, "I will do this again because I know You would, because I've got Your heart." And that's what God is after. He's after people that share His heart. And I feel there's some of you here that's been faithful with little things. Really been faithful, and you feel like God hasn't seen it. I promise you, there's one thing God doesn't see amiss. The Word says His eyes are dwelling throughout the earth, looking on a woman who can show Himself strong. So God is seeing that, and there's going to be a time where God will release you in your inheritance. The Word says, if all things fail, He's still faithful. Okay, and now I just want to deal with selling your inheritance. We can actually lose our inheritance through our actions. Hebrews 12 and 16. Don't be unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. And most of us probably know the story of Esau. Jacob and Esau were two brothers. And in Old Testament time, it was quite easy to inherit your inheritance. You must just make sure you're the firstborn. So he had it all sorted out. But what he did is he treated his inheritance with contempt. When he was hungry one day, he came from the field and his brother said to him, "If you give me your inheritance, I'll give you food." And he thought, "Ugh, whatever, I'm going to do this." But he actually lost his inheritance because he wasn't focused. He wasn't counting it highly. Proverbs 20 verse 21, "An inheritance gained hastily in the beginning will not be blessed in the end." There might be some of you sitting here with promises. God has said things about your life that He's going to do. And it's not come to pass. You may be getting a bit wearisome. God says, if it's hastily, what is hastily gained, it's not going to be blessed. So He wants you to get to a place where you are going to respect what He's going to give you and you're going to enjoy it. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 11, "Wisdom is good with an inheritance, an advantage to those who see the sun." And wisdom, you can ask for God. Ask God to give you wisdom. So we will be tested. We'll be asked to endure and to persevere. Ephesians 5 verse 5 to 6, "For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words." Don't let anyone deceive you with empty words. Important. "For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." So we must deal with sin in our lives. If we are serious about God and our inheritance, we don't deal with sin lightly. We take it on. James 1 verse 12, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." And this speaks of more than just this life, and this speaks of enduring to the end. Because God says He's got crowns for His righteous, for those who love Him, one day when we stand before Him. Okay, what about my legacy? Some of us come from a place where we just experienced desolation, maybe from a place of poverty, from a place where we maybe not even had a mom or a dad that we could inherit from, or we only inherited negative things. Even you don't even think positively when you think of where you come from. And some of us walk in a legacy that's generations, few generations long. And if we see that in other people's lives, celebrate it, because God wants the same for you. And if that's your place of desolation, that's really the enemy. The best thing the enemy can do is keep you there. Satan, when he disobeyed God, he lost his inheritance. He lost his place next to God. So he really doesn't have anything else anymore to live for or to do. But the only best thing he can do is just take ours, keep us from our inheritance. So if you come from that place, that was the enemy's work. It's not God's work. And God is a God of restoration. The scripture I'm going to read to you is one of my favorite scriptures. I stand on this one. "Instead of your shame, there shall be a double portion. Instead of dishonor, they shall rejoice in their lot, their inheritance. There from their land, they shall possess a double portion. They shall have everlasting joy." Yeah. So even you could have success in worldly eyes. You could have a career. You could have a position of significance. That doesn't even mean you walk in your inheritance. What you must do is go to God and ask Him, "What is my inheritance? What have you got planned for me?" I just want to share a testimony from it, out of my own life. When I was about 13 years old, let me start earlier. I grew up on a little farm in Namibia, not a little farm, a big farm. massive farm in Namibia, and but it was quite a rough grow up childhood. I went to boarding school when I was 6, I remember when I went home on weekends. It's quite my home atmosphere wasn't positive. So what I used to do is I would take my bicycle and I would go ride around the farm in the bushes and stuff, and that would be my fun time. So I remember when I was about 12, 13, one of the teachers in school organized a bicycle race for the kids of the school. And I remember, I would love to do this bicycle race. And I went home that week and I said to my dad, can I take my bike to school? And I wasn't allowed to take my bike to school because it was too dangerous. It was going to be stolen perhaps. So I couldn't take my bike. So I remember I was allowed to marshal. I was one of the marshals. I remember seeing that race and getting to the end of that race, and it was one of the guys who won it. And I just left it there. I forgot about it. And then I got saved about 12 years ago. And one of the first things God restored in my life was just my passion for cycling. So when I got my first work, the first thing I did is I saved up for a bicycle, a road bike. And it might seem a bit strange, the first thing I saved up, but to me that was quite important. So to some of you, bicycling wouldn't be important at all, so just bear with me. So I bought that bicycle and God blessed it. Within 4 months, I rode the August. I rode a sub-3 in my first August, so God just blessed it. I just did well, and that was about 2001. And then the year 2004, I mean, this is after God has blessed my cycling. I cycled elite cycling. God gave me a 60,000 rand bicycle. Didn't pay a cent for. So then 2004, I always wanted to go back and show my family what God has done in my cycling. That I'm actually a good cyclist. They're not really sporty people. Couldn't really relate with it. So 2004, Namibia, they've got this cycle race. They call it Namibian Cycle Classic. It's like the August in Namibia. It's not as big. About 2,500 people, not 30,000, but still a significant race in their calendar. And I said, God, I'm going to take this bicycle and I'm going to trust you to win this race. I'm going to trust you to restore, and not just for myself, but really for their sakes, to see what you've done in my life. So I remember getting on my bike that morning, riding the race, and I'm somewhat going to share some details of it, because that's sometimes how our inheritance will work. We'll get through it, and we'll have some obstacles. And about two-thirds through the race, we were on this big mountain, and 10 guys broke away, and I couldn't follow anymore. So it was just too tough. I couldn't follow anymore. So I just wanted to give up. I said, God, why did I ask you this for? And God said to me, just bear with me. And I remember coming out of the mountains, about 5 or 6 guys came with me, and we just chased, and we actually caught up with the front bunch. And then we were on the flats, about 20 k's from the end, and I got to the front of the bunch about 20 k's out, and I just felt God said to me, move to the front. And the next moment I just looked back and I saw about 50 meters behind me was the bunch. And then I just felt God said to me, just hold on, don't look back. And I felt God said to some of you, don't look left and right, don't look back, just look forward. God is going to do something in your life. And I actually rode 2 minutes out of the group, which is quite difficult to do on a flat piece of road. And I won that race. And it was quite something to me. Maybe it's a cycle race, but it meant a lot to me and for God's kingdom. Because God has got plans for you. And when you do well, you're actually making Him famous. So God has got a plan for you to win in the areas that He wants to restore in your life. And I just want to say, Christians is not for sissies. It's not for people who give up quickly. It's really people who are desperate for their inheritance. Somewhere another testimony, I remember when I joined Surfer, Reino just came, I remember we went on missions to India, and I wanted to go on that missions. And that year my mom fell, she was quite sick, and I couldn't go, and things were just bad, so I just felt, the devil is still there. But then I just, the next time it came around, I just went and I did it. I just went on missions. So that's something that's important to me at that time as well. So you're going to have some setbacks in your life you have to overcome. You're going to have some Goliaths that you have to slay. But God has got a massive inheritance for you. Positioning yourself to obtain a full inheritance. Luke 16 verse 11. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches. God is looking at your stewardship. Like I shared earlier, He's looking what you're doing in your own time, in your heart. Colossians 3, verse 23 to 24. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. So some of us want to be tempted to leave our jobs, to go do something radical for God. But no, God is looking at what you're doing right now. He's looking at your job right now, what you're doing for Him right now. Jesus was a carpenter before God released Him, and He was God Himself. But He had to be faithful, working with His hands. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, But the Lord said to Samuel, Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Yeah, I just want to affirm that again. God, if you prepare your heart, then you're ready for inheritance. And once again, his own father didn't see anything in him. But God saw his heart there where he was out in the field, watching the sheep. 1 Samuel 16, verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. I believe David wouldn't have become king if he wasn't Spirit-filled. If the Spirit didn't come upon him. Because after he was anointed as king, after he got the promise that he was going to rule Israel, he still had to go to some severe things. He went to some hectic stuff. But the Holy Spirit came to sustain him from that day forward. And I believe it's the same for us. If we want to inherit what God has got for us, we need to be daily, be filled by the Holy Spirit. Daily, we need to go to God and get instruction, get affirmation, be strengthened, be empowered. And the Holy Spirit is really a download of our inheritance here on earth. And even the Revelation says those who are marked with the Holy Spirit on their foreheads, they were destined for eternal life. So we cannot do this without the Holy Spirit. Okay, Matthew 20, verse 28. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. So some of you, God has called you to do big things. He's called you to do great things. And sometimes I see in Christianity, people, they don't want to be in politics, perhaps, or they don't want to be in areas of influence because they think it's not a humble thing to do. But God says it's not wrong to be in leadership. It's not wrong to be ambitious. Just the way we do it. The way we do it is by serving. The way we do it is by committing to God's way of being in leadership. We don't do it the world's way, which is trampling and dog-eating dog mentality. I'm just reminded of positioning ourselves. The reason why I'm in this church is in 2007, Fred May preached at a conference of another church. And as I was sitting there, God said to me, this man has got an inheritance. He's walking in his inheritance. And God said to me, if you want your inheritance, you go position yourself under this man. That's why I'm in this church today. It's because I want my inheritance. And I want to challenge you the same. Look for people. Don't just look. God says we must look for power in people's lives. So that means we must look for fruits. We mustn't. Some people have got a form of godliness, but lacking the power of it. So, and it's quickly to pick up if somebody walks in the power of God. So I want to challenge you to position yourself on the people where you see that they've got inheritance. I remember for myself, there's two people I wanted to be mentored by. 2 years ago, I already said to God, I want to be under their mentorship. And this year, God has opened a door so I can be under their mentorship. So it's very critical. God also imparts to you through impartation. Our corporate inheritance, Ephesians 1 verse 18. Having the eyes of your heart, have the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Acts 20 verse 32. Now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. May you be strengthened, Colossians 1 verse 11 to 12. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. And on your own, God will give you a part of your inheritance. But if you want the fullness of your inheritance, then where you're going to get it is in the church. It's in the corporate sense. God is going to give it to you. You might get part of your inheritance, but a lot of what you're going to get, people around you are also going to get. Like I just shared to you through impartation, a lot of what you're going to get, you're going to get from other people in your relationship. So if you're serious about your inheritance, you shouldn't be outside of church. If you're serious about your inheritance, you should be on a Sunday, on a Wednesday at small group. You might think it's insignificant, but you're not by reading a book or by watching a DVD. You're not going to get what God has got for you, because He's got something for you right here in this place. If you run around looking for it, I think God is not confused. He wouldn't want you to run around. And it's also part of a hireling mentality that we think we can buy inheritance. God is faithful. Okay, possess your inheritance. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. Rainer was sharing last week about hearing God's voice. So when God speaks, we need to be faithful and move. Sometimes we don't know exactly. Like Abraham actually didn't know exactly, but he moved as God told him to go. I felt this scripture is especially for Ronobos. Psalm 110 was free. Your troops will be willing on your day of battle, arrayed in holy majesty from the womb of the dawn. Young men will come to you like the dew. It speaks of a willingness. And God is not looking for qualified people. He's looking for willing people. He's looking for young people. God says, don't despise your youth. Don't despise who you are. He's looking for you. Such a people that will listen to Him and will be obedient. And also, as I shared earlier about career and things, sometimes big doors open in our life, massive doors, but they're not necessarily from God. So that's why we need to hear God's voice. We must go to God and say, is this really your God? Your door? Or is this just a door of opportunity? Because we don't take doors of opportunity, we take God's doors. Going up the mountain. So Moses rose, Exodus 24, 13. So Moses rose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain. It's interesting, I only saw this last week while I was preparing a sermon. The first time around, God called Moses up to the mountain. He went up alone. When he came back, the Israelites were prostituting themselves, worshipping idols. And Moses was very angry, so he broke the stone tablets. And God wanted to kill all of Israelites and whatever. So that was quite hectic. But then God forgave them and gave them another chance. And then Moses went up the mountain again. And this time around, it was interesting. Joshua went up to the mountain. He went to inquire with Moses. And it's interesting to note, when the Israelites went to the Promised Land, only two people went in. It was of the original tribe that went up should have gone up the mountain. And that was Joshua and Caleb. And I believe one of the reasons Joshua went up is because he went up the mountain. He went to see God. He saw things in perspective, and he knew what God's will was. And if you've been in God's presence, then nothing is impossible anymore. I can just share a testimony of this. When I knew Janet about 6 months, my parents, the farm that I told you about, it's two farms, 10,000 hectares in Namibia. My dad lost the one farm just through mismanagement and just not being in a good place. So he was about to lose the second farm when we went to visit that time. And I just felt God challenging us to just cycle around the farm and claim the place that it will not be lost. They wouldn't lose that. My dad wasn't in a place where he could steward anymore, and my mom couldn't help him, and was really desperate. So what we did is we just cycled around the farm, about 30 k's we cycled. And we just claimed that farm. We said, this is not going to be lost in this inheritance. The devil is not going to have. And after we left, God just worked things, miracles. My brother got involved, and my things just worked, miracles worked, and within 6 months, the farm was sold. And because of that, yeah, that inheritance was safeguarded. So the same for us. God is going to give us strategy to go into our promised land. And if we're obedient, then yeah, God is going to give us the land. And I believe next Sunday is a time like this when God wants to speak to us. First, we'll be coming next Sunday to just celebrate God and to hunger after Him and to know Him. But I believe God is also going to give us strategy. Because when you're in the mountain, God talks to you and He tells you what His plan is. And I just want to finish off with things I believe God has given us as a church. Part of our corporate inheritance from Shofar Church is to be a prophetic voice. So God has called us to be a prophetic voice in Ronnebosch. He's called us to speak His mind and His ways over this suburb. We're gatekeepers of Ronnebosch. He's called us to be co-heirs of Christ. And Christ has already purchased Ronnebosch, so He's called us to possess the gate of Ronnebosch. And on Thursday, we're going to actually start in our morning intercession to possess the gates. So I invite all of you who are serious about your inheritance here in Ronnebosch to come and partake of the gates. Once again, God is not looking for qualified. He's looking for somebody that's willing. And then also for next Sunday, we call to be intimate of God. Liana shared a few weeks ago about praise. We really call to be a place that where the praises of God will go forth. People will come into the midst of the praises of God. We are sitting on a hill, safe place, a refuge for those out there that doesn't have a place. I believe God has also called us as a church to be a place where His presence dwells. I believe God is going to do some amazing things here. People will walk into our services or into our houses or into our workplaces, and they will meet with God, the presence of God, and God will heal them, He will save them, He will restore them, deliver them. We also, 2 years ago, God gave us a word for orphans and the broken. So those who don't have families, God has called them into this family. Okay, and then I felt a few other words in Jeremiah 1:10. See, I've set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. It's part of our prophetic mandate. Psalm 111:6. He's shown His people the power of the works and giving them the inheritance of the nation. And I believe it's got to do with people being saved. God is going to do supernatural among us, not for our sakes, but for those out there that are unsaved. And interesting thing to notice that in UCT, last year there was 101 nations represented on campus. And God has called us to inherit the nations. So we are very privileged. God has put the nations right next door. And I believe to just being authentic and to walking in God's power, God is going to give them to us. Psalm 127 is free. The band can come up so long. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb, a reward. So God wants to have, us to have children. But it's not just physical children. When God speaks of children, He speaks of spiritual as well. So it's for all of us. And then just the last scripture, John 21:15-16. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." And I really believe we are people that love God. I really believe that's why we're doing next Sunday as well. We are just symbolically saying to everybody around us that we love God and we don't want nothing more than Him. But the outflow of that is God says to us, "Feed my sheep. The harvest is ready. The harvest is of you." And I believe if we commit to feed His sheep, God will send in the harvest. Okay, that's what I've got to share for tonight. I just want every head to just be bowed down. You've heard now the story of inheritance. You've heard now that we are all called to be firstborn and to inherit a double portion Even if you come from a place of desolation, God has got a double portion for you. But there's this one condition for us to have this inheritance, to have eternal life of God, to have the promise. And that is that we become reborn. See, this inheritance are for those who are reborn. The word says God knows us even before time. He called us by name even before we were born. So His heart was to give everybody inheritance on this world. But a way we access that inheritance is becoming sons and daughters. He calls us to become children of God. He calls us to be adopted into His family. And tonight, if you're here and what I said in witness of your heart, you didn't feel like I'm a son in God's house and I can inherit, and you're not reborn again, I want to just give you this opportunity now. As God's tugging your heart, to just lift up your hand. If you want to say, I want this inheritance, I want eternal life, God, and I want to give you the opportunity to raise your hand right now. Your heart, and He's said to you, you've maybe dealt treacherously with your inheritance, you've not been serious about it, you've maybe counted other things that the world has got to offer higher than God has got to offer for you, higher than Him being your exceedingly great reward and the outflow of that. I'm going to offer you an opportunity to just come forward, to just speak with God. You're not going to speak to me or to any counselor, because God said to Samuel, I look upon man's heart. And it's really an issue between you and God. It's really, if you want your inheritance, it's between you and God. It's not between you and a leader in church, or between you and what other people think. It's really between you and God. So all the band ministers, I want you to be bold. Just come forward and make things right with God. Commit to that inheritance. Commit to what God has got for you. Commit to that eternal riches which is God for you. And God says, if you repent, He's quick to forgive, He's easy to please, and slow to anger. So He will give you an inheritance, but you must become serious about it. So I'm going to close the service with that. For the band ministers, you come forward, you deal with God. And you want somebody to pray with you, just come and grab me.